Pastor John Randall with a question for you.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have a desire for spiritual things in your life? Are you in pursuit of a greater understanding of the Lord? Do you long for more of Jesus? Is that a desire of your heart? Or are you so inundated and weighed down with so many temporal desires that you have no spiritual appetite? It's just not really a priority. If that is the case, ask God to change your heart. Say, God, give me a desire for more of you. Lord, give me a heart like the psalmist. When the psalmist declared in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that is what I'm going to seek after.
God is love, the Bible says. It also says the fruit of the Spirit is love. So it's no surprise that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 encourages us to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Some shy away from the gifts of tongues and prophecy because of what they've seen or heard about them. Others don't know if they're still for today or were they meant only for the early church. Today on A Daily Walk, we're looking at tongues and prophecy in the church and their proper use. Pastor John Randall will be spotlighting chapter 14.
Well, if you have your Bibles, if you'd open up with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with a message entitled The Gift of Tongues. And beginning in verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies, he edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. When we came to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we turned a corner within this epistle as the Apostle Paul began to write on the subject of spiritual gifts. These gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to believers in the church for the purpose of edifying and building up the body of Christ. As we continued in chapter 12, Paul then compared the church to a human body. A physical body is made up of different parts. All the parts of the body are necessary, they are interwoven, and they're connected to one another. And when each part of the body is doing its job, the body functions effectively. In the same manner, when different members of the church are connected to one another and connected to Jesus, each one of us doing our job, working together, the church can function in the way that God intended it to. Then we came to chapter 13, where Paul wrote about the most important gift of all, which is love. And he gave us a beautiful description of what real love looks like. And without the love of God in our midst, regardless of how gifted we are, it profits us nothing. But then we now arrive at a section of scripture that some may like to go over rather quickly, as Paul specifically looks at the gift of tongues and its proper use. Now remember, as we go through this, I want to encourage you this morning, you need to pay close attention, because this will be clear to you if you follow along. Pay attention. As we continue this study, I want you to remember, first of all, that this letter, if you didn't know it up to this point, primarily is a letter of correction. Paul had to correct the Corinthians for their misuse of spiritual gifts. And the one gift in particular that was out of order was this gift of tongues. Now, I realize when I simply mention the gift of tongues, it may bring a sense of discomfort to some. It's interesting as you look around the room and you see what I see. But I want you to know, as we go through the word, you're going to have clarity this morning. And the truth is, there is a controversy over this particular gift that has divided schools of thought within the church. The gift of tongues, along with even the baptism of the Holy Spirit, has divided oftentimes the classical evangelical from the charismatic. Now, unfortunately, the term charismatic in some places may refer to charismania, but that's not what we're referring to here. The word charismatic takes its name from the Greek words, first of all, charis, which is the English transliteration of the Greek word grace, and mata, which is the Greek word for gifts. The two words together means grace gifts. Simply stated, to be classified as a charismatic means that you believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit that Paul mentions here in 1 Corinthians are still in operation and available to the church today. On the other hand, you have the cessationist that believes that the miracle gifts, such as tongues, have ceased at the end of the apostolic age. They suggest that there isn't a need for these gifts any longer. And one of the reasons that they emphasize this is because now we have the full and complete canonization of the New Testament scriptures, and thus we have no longer the need for the gifts. Now, let me say, this is not to be, or it should not be, a divisive issue in the body of Christ. There are many in the family of God that dismiss the gifts, but they're still brothers and sisters in Christ. Personally, Calvary Chapel here, your pastor would be classified as a charismatic. Now, you might disagree with that, and we can disagree agreeably. You might dismiss the gifts, or you come from that kind of background. We can disagree agreeably on a non-essential issue. But I want to say this to you. What so often solidifies a person's position in dismissing the gifts of the Spirit is because they have observed abuses of the gifts that are outside of the biblical borders that are found in God's Word, just like the Corinthians were doing. And there are those that say, and there are others who have heard bad doctrine, doctrine such as this, that unless you speak in tongues, you don't have the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you don't speak in with a prayer language, then you haven't truly been baptized with the Holy Spirit. But that is also incorrect, because when you read through the scriptures, you find that the greatest demonstration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a changed life. And if you haven't been changed by the work of the Holy Spirit, then you really haven't been transformed. That's the greatest evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit, a changed life. You could speak in any kind of language you want, but if there is no transformation, it profits you nothing. The gift of tongues is something that is not to be afraid of or shy away from if, and I say if, underline, if it is used in its proper biblical context, it can be a blessing primarily to the individual believer. If its purpose is clearly understood, then there is no controversy. But the controversy and the misunderstanding occurs when well-meaning people go outside of the scriptural parameters that God has set within the church. That's when there is a problem. But if you study through the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, it clears up the confusion. In Corinth, they were practicing many of the gifts out of order, and that created an environment of confusion. And thus, out of necessity, Paul is writing for the survival of the church. He has to correct them in their misuse of the gifts. And so we begin. What is the gift of tongues? Let me start out by saying what it isn't. It is not the ability to pick up on languages quickly. That is not what this gift is. Instead, it is the ability to speak in a language that you do not know through the agency of the Holy Spirit. It is the ability to worship God through praise in a language that you have not naturally learned. You remember Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, he said, "And these signs shall follow those that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues." The first example of this would be seen in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit was poured out. It would be seen again in the book of Acts chapter 10 verses 44 through 46 as Peter went into the home of Cornelius and began to preach to Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit fell upon him and his household, and they also began to speak with other dialects. We see this gift again in Acts chapter 19 when the apostle Paul was ministering in the area of Ephesus, and the believers there didn't even know there was the power of the Holy Spirit, and they too experienced this gifting from the Lord. When we read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, Paul lists the gift of tongues as, listen, one of the gifts of the Spirit. It says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." Now, in that same chapter, in the next few verses, Paul then asks a series of rhetorical questions concerning the gifts. He says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to those rhetorical questions is no. Not everybody has the exact same gift. And while tongues is a desirable and even a valuable gift to the individual, we are not to exalt it above measure as some have done. In our text this morning, Paul will begin his discussion on the gift of tongues by contrasting it and comparing it to the gift of prophecy. And by doing so, what we will discover is the purpose of the gift of tongues, as well as the gift of prophecy that supersedes the gift of tongues as it relates to the benefit amidst the congregation. And so, in verse 1, it says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. The word pursue means to follow. It means to hunt, to chase after with intensity. Paul said to the Corinthians, if you're going to run after something, if you want a noble pursuit in your life, pursue spiritual things. Run after the Lord. Pursue love. Desire and cultivate in your life the love of Christ that can be demonstrated, because that is the greatest demonstration to the world that you're a Christian. Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. A love for one another, a love for your enemies, a love for the lost world. Paul said, pursue that. That's the greatest gift of all. But he also said, desire spiritual gifts. He doesn't say deny the gifts. He doesn't say dismiss them. He doesn't say that was on the day of Pentecost, they're no longer for today. He doesn't say declare them as non-existent. Paul says here to the church, many years after the day of Pentecost, desire spiritual gifts. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a desire for spiritual things in your life? Are you in pursuit of a greater understanding of the Lord? Do you long for more of Jesus? Is that a desire of your heart? Or are you so inundated and weighed down with so many temporal desires that you have no spiritual appetite? It's just not really a priority. If that is the case, ask God to change your heart. Say, God, give me a desire for more of you. Lord, give me a heart like the psalmist, when the psalmist declared in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that is what I'm going to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Let that be a desire, to inquire in his temple. Do you have that kind of a pursuit, an insatiable desire and hunger and thirst for more of God? If you don't, ask him to change your heart. Paul exhorted the church in Corinth to desire spiritual gifts. But he said, of all the gifts, desire the gift of prophecy. Many people have misunderstood the gift of prophecy, and they see it only as the ability to predict the future. While knowing something about the future may sometimes be an aspect of the gift of prophecy, it is primarily the gift of proclamation. Forthtelling, not so much prediction, foretelling, but forthtelling. That's what the word prophecy means, to speak forth the word of God, to make known the truth of God's word. Now, why would Paul tell the church to especially desire the speaking forth of the word of God? He tells us in the next verse. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue, mark this, does not speak to man, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. The first thing you come to realize about the gift of tongues, and make note of this because this is a common misunderstanding and a misuse of the gift. I'm not speaking to man. I'm speaking to God. I'm praying to God. I'm not directing this gift toward man. And sometimes you find people misusing this gift. I remember pastoring in the Southeast. I remember someone coming and telling me, yeah, I went to this church and the pastor was preaching in tongues and one guy was interpreting what he was saying to the church. That's a misuse of the gift, because the gift is given for the purpose of speaking to God, not to man. So this was an abuse of the gift. Now, because this gift is used to speak to God, it is helpful in the Christian life in several different ways. You say, how would I even use the gift of tongues? How would that be a benefit to me as a Christian? Let me explain. First of all, for personal worship. The gift of tongues can assist in times of personal worship to God. There are times when worshiping the Lord, considering his attributes, his character, and who he is, that words are inadequate. As one man, Savonarola, said, when prayer reaches its ultimate, words are impossible. And the Lord then gives me a prayer language whereby I might express my heart to him. I am speaking to him the wonderful praises that I don't always understand, but God understands. This gift can also be helpful in the area of intercession. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, here's what Paul said. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he who searches knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There are moments, there are times, there are seasons in seeking to intercede on behalf of someone else. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what God's will is for them. I don't understand what the mind of the Lord is. And so I can go beyond my understanding and pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will take those things to the throne of grace. But again, I am speaking to the Lord and not to man. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So the first thing we see about this gift is I am speaking to the Lord. He is the one that I am addressing. And again, this is, as I said, a mistake that is so often made in various Pentecostal circles. It's a common error. When a person will stand up in the midst of a service and give an utterance in an unknown tongue, and someone will then seek to give the interpretation, but it's really not the interpretation because it's directed toward man. They'll say something like, thus saith the Lord, my children, hearken unto me. I mean, it's all directed toward man. That's a misappropriation. That is a misunderstanding. It's not a proper interpretation, in other words. And so we have to be clear on that. Now, in contrast to tongues, look at verse 3. He who prophesies, that is, speaks forth the word of God, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to who? To men. That's the difference. The gift of prophecy is used to edify the church corporately, to comfort, to exhort, to encourage the church. Prophecy is man word. It's encouraging a brother or sister in the Lord with the word of God. Again, on the other hand, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Here's the comparison between the two gifts. One is to be used in the church. One is to be used for personal edification. Someone might ask, why should I even desire the gift of tongues? What benefit would it be to me? The Apostle Paul answers that question by saying, of all of the gifts of the Spirit that are available to us, tongues, listen carefully, is the one gift that will edify you personally in comparison to the rest. All the other gifts are focused upon blessing and ministering to the church corporately, whereas tongues is for your own edification personally. Paul knew this, and thus he shares his desire with the Corinthians when he says in verse 5, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Now, that would be a benefit for them personally. Paul said, I wish you had that, because you could edify yourself and be encouraged with that gift. But then he adds to that, he said it would be greater if everyone prophesied, because unless he who speaks in tongues, he interprets, that the church might receive edification. So Paul said to the believers in Corinth, he did wish that they all had the gift. They didn't all have it, but he wished that they did. It would benefit them personally, but he said a greater desire was that the entire church would speak forth the word of God, because that would edify the entire body of Christ. That would be a blessing to the entire church. Now, personal testimony. I remember I was 18 years old. I came up after the end of a service at our chapel at Calvary, where I was going to high school, and they said, if anybody wants to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, why don't you come down? And there was a few kids, just a few, a handful of us maybe, that came forward to the stage, and there was nothing weird, nothing strange. Nobody blew on me. Nobody slapped me on the forehead. Because that would have been weird and unbiblical. They basically just prayed for us, and they prayed that we'd be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't really have any expectation. I just wanted more of whatever Jesus had for me. And in that moment, God gave me this gift. Now, I will say this. It was very difficult for me. I felt so foolish. And the devil was right there. What are you saying? That's not the gift. You're making that up. That doesn't even make any sense. What is that? Some kind of baby talk? You don't even know what you're saying. And I was just condemned and feeling as though I just was so ridiculous. And I had to bypass my own intellect. I was being constantly assailed while trying to pray in a prayer language that God had given to me. I can tell you, in my life, that there have been seasons and moments when this particular gift has been a tremendous blessing and benefit to me personally. I can also tell you that no one in this fellowship has ever heard me pray from this pulpit in my prayer language. Nor has anyone ever seen me here go around walking up to someone saying, hey, do you want me to pray for you in my prayer language? I'd love to just, you'll never see that. Why? Because that wouldn't be a benefit to you. That wouldn't edify you because you wouldn't know what I was saying. It's supposed to be directed toward God. But I will say at the same time, by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have seen on a weekly basis, if you attend here, the gift of prophecy in operation. As the word of God is being spoken forth with clarity and prayerfully with authority, and you are growing and being encouraged in your walk with the Lord. And that's a benefit to you. The other gift would be a benefit to me, but not a benefit to the congregation. Having dealt with this contrast and comparison, Paul now moves to some practical problems that had arisen in the church there in Corinth, and even in the church today, when people go outside of the biblical boundaries that have been given to us. Look what it says. It's very clear. Verse 6, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you? Unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, prophesying, or by teaching. Paul said, if I come into the church in Corinth and I begin speaking in a foreign language to you and you don't understand what I'm saying, how's that going to help you? It wouldn't. That's the obvious answer, because you wouldn't understand what was being said. To illustrate this even further, Paul then considers a few examples that they could relate to. He first of all looks at instruments improperly played. Look at verse 7. Even things without life, whether the flute or the harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? This morning, if I sat down in front of a xylophone to lead you in worship, it would be of no benefit to you. You say, why? Because I don't know how to play it. You would think, what is he doing? And I would say, I don't know what I'm doing. It would be no benefit to you if I played it improperly. In the past, in the military, they would use a trumpet. Even in Israel's history, they would blow a trumpet or a shofar in those days to give certain signals to the people. You would blow the trumpet and it would mean attack. You would blow the trumpet another way, it would mean retreat. You would blow the trumpet another way, it's time to get up for breakfast. If somebody blows the trumpet in an uncertain way, they're not skilled, and they're blowing it in a way that people don't understand, they're not going to know, should we attack? Was that, were we supposed to retreat? Were we supposed to eat breakfast? We have no idea what's happening. Paul is saying in the same way, in the same manner, verse 9, even so, unless you utter by the tongue words that are easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? You will be speaking into the air. Just like the trumpet being played with uncertain and confusing sounds, so is the individual who gets up in a congregational setting and speaks in an unknown tongue. People will not understand you, what you're saying, and thus the church will not be edified.
Today on A Daily Walk, Pastor John Randall has been leading a study from our series in 1 Corinthians, and I'd imagine some of you would like to hear it again. Maybe you joined us late. Go online to adailywalk.org and have a listen when it's most convenient, or request a CD copy for a cost of just $5 when you call toll-free at 877-242-0828. Again, that's 877-242-0828. We also have a podcast, and you'll find A Daily Walk Radio on Apple Podcasts. You might also want to download our free app. This is a great way to watch Pastor John's messages on your TV or handheld devices. It's available on Google Play, Amazon, Apple TV, and Roku. Just do a search for CCSJC. With all that's going on in our world right now, there's an increased interest in prophecy. And so we're pleased to offer you Pastor John's entire study of Revelation right now on a reusable USB flash drive. Here's a preview.
And I do believe that in some way, China will have a part to play in the prophetic picture and the things that have yet to unfold in the final battle. It's no surprise today to see the rise of China. If you are not aware of what's going on globally, if you don't pay attention to what's happening or read the scriptures in the sense of as a filter for what's happening in the world, so many of the nations that are mentioned who will gather and fight against Israel are collectively coming together at the present time.
Again, that's Pastor John's latest study of Revelation on a reusable USB flash drive. The cost is just $20 for the entire series. And remember, anything given above that amount will help us remain a biblical voice on this station, as we are listener-supported. You can reach us toll-free at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. You can also order resources and donate online safely and securely at adailywalk.org. Here at Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano, our supreme desire is to know Christ and to be conformed into His image by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to invite you to watch our services live online. You can now watch all of our services on lightsource.com or through our website at calvarysjc.com. Well, our time together sure goes by quickly, doesn't it? We'll pick up where we left off in 1 Corinthians next time. This has been A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall, where you'll never have to walk alone.